Hi, I'm DJ Peaches with The Hotto Nation, and I have an exclusive interview with Rick Valderrama. I also have Rick's brother, Richie. Just wanted to say thank you guys for, you know, wanting for me to do this. And we're going to actually answer questions. We're going to talk about what you want to bring, I guess, to the surface and to possibly maybe help somebody else out that's going through the same thing.
What my brother is going through right now, what he's been going through actually for the last 8 years, and I think we're at the end of the road in a good note.
I'm going close to 9 years of dealing with this issue. I suffered with fatty liver since I was little. Fatty liver can turn into cirrhosis, and it doesn't affect everybody. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, it affected me. What I have, it's called NASH, non-alcoholic cirrhosis. And the last word, you don't want me to say it because I can't, right? So that's what I have. I was going to Methodist Transplant Hospital here in San Antonio, and no one knew. My wife knew, but no one else knew. So when I would walk into the transplant to the waiting room, mm-hmm. I'd act like I was on my phone. No, I'll pick you. I'm here to pick you up. I'm right here in the wait. And I would look around, I'd scan to see if I knew anybody. If I didn't know anybody, then I'd go check in.
Well, I could see you wanting your privacy. I don't know. I mean, I would want to tell my family because I would want all the love and support surrounding me as much as I could. But I guess maybe like some cases, like you don't want to burden your family, right?
Well, because of the fact that we just lost my dad.
Yeah. Yeah.
John liver cancer.
Oh, gosh. Yeah.
And we're mourning my dad's loss. And I'm going to come out and say, hey, I have a liver disease.
Yeah.
They just like couldn't. You know, I'd go, is that going to be healthy for my mom? You know, it would have probably taken off a lot of stress off of me. But the one that had to hear it all and knew it all was, of course, was my wife. That's who the one I would talk to all the time. And she said, hey, I need me to go with you. You know, I go, no, it's just a checkup. Hey, you need me to do this? No, it's just this. And that's, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So now that we're getting closer, I just tell her, hey, you need to be there. Hey, you need to do this. Hey, you know what I mean? And she's like, hey, whatever. I go, I got to be with the surgeon next week. I'll have two meetings with him. One, I can go on my own, but one, you need to be there. Mm-hmm. She says, okay, I will go to work. So there at the Methodist transplant, they referred me to another doctor for osteoporosis because the liver doesn't affect your bones.
Oh, gosh.
So they were giving me some medication where that medication was affecting me internally. It was giving me esophagitis, and Rick says it was giving me pneumonia, but that was a lot. And Rick would always tell me, hey, they can't do a living donor. They can't do a living donor. I was like, oh, Rick, oh, I need a deceased one because the Methodist transplant does not have a living donor program, and it's deceased donor.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, so they go by a MELT score. Your MELT score is way up there. I mean, you're yellow. You're just whole and everything. And they're searching on a national database for liver failure. No, I wasn't on the list because my MELT score, I had to be at a 29. Well, I got up to a 27.
Uh-huh.
And even the doctor told me, man, we had the whole liver team working for you.
Oh,
good. I walked in, though, dark. He goes, yeah, you walked in, but you almost didn't walk out. I was like, oh, my God. Anyway, they were like, you know what? I think it's best to refer you to another hospital that has a living donor program. And Rick had already been on my case saying, see if I can do this, see if I can do this. And I was like, no, they can't. So we went over there. And sure enough, to have a liver donor. Yeah, that's what he, they told him that he qualified for it.
Oh, and I didn't know that there was that it could be from a living or someone that's deceased. I didn't even realize that. I always thought it was had to be somebody that was deceased.
You would have to qualify, right? And you had mm-hmm. a match, right? And I qualified. Well, even when I first went in to see, when Richie goes, yeah, you know, you can't. I went in to get tested. The last test is that I had to get a biopsy.
Some of it took me to a biopsy about, what, 3 weeks ago, Rich? 3 or 4 weeks ago?
Yeah, something like that.
And did the biopsy. They called me 2 days and said, you're good to go.
So the biopsy is to see if you are a match?
No, the biopsy, they took a piece of my liver to see if my... I'd have to, same thing, there's a level. I had to get down to a certain level to...
Oh, okay, okay.
Never would grow back right away because... Well, I can give my brother up to 70% of my liver, and you know, the following day my liver will start growing back. But that I have to be in a certain weight, and you know, and I was kind of like, well, I was praying that day because I go, man, I just went through 7-8 months of this, you know, for my brother, and he told me, you know, and you're so how'd I go? My God, I don't know what I would have done. But they called me 2 days later. We tried to set it up in like 2 weeks. Hey, we've been in 2 weeks.
Oh, my God.
And I was in the process of moving into a house. I go, do it. I go, I get a week to the first. And well, luckily, they set it up for the 21st. And, you know, it's about to go down.
Wow. So how do you feel, Rich? I mean, I would have probably some sleepless nights, but I would probably be like an emotional roller coaster. You know, like...
Oh, my God.
Yeah, you nailed it.
Yeah.
I'm very, very emotional. And they're saying, my wife, she would just get up at 12 or 1 or 2, whatever. She looks at me and says, you're going to be okay. We're going to be okay. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And she's, you're going to be fine, Rich. Just come on. She goes, I'm trying not to break. And I can tell that she's... borderline running the brain.
Yeah.
And then my daughter, she's just here with us, and she's just strong as an ox, but in front of me.
Yeah.
Not behind closed doors.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I'm just like, okay. And I try to do my normal things, which hey, I can't really. They try to do normal things, which is eat, love to David, you got style 3 or 4. So what?
Well, that's good company to have.
So, luckily, you know, my brother is a man. So it's good how I'm talking. Speaking of the devil, David, he's texting me. My numbers and my match.
Nice. Oh, my gosh.
And I have to take these pills, rejection, anti-rejection pills for the rest of your life.
Mm-hmm.
But I strongly feel, since we're from the same bloodline, you know, same mom, same dad,
yeah.
You know, maybe it's going to catch a lot faster. Maybe, you know, it's good. I just have drawn things that, hey, man, this is going to be great. Because I was right, and it's not somebody that I do not know. The only thing I don't like is that, you know, I don't have, diabetes. Mm-hmm. I don't have heart that high.
Oh, wow.
I don't have anything. I mean, heart, everything is great. But they're like, when they had a meeting, they're like, well, expect to become diabetic. I said, no, I'll beat that. That's okay. If I can beat this disease, I can beat that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And you know that God is holding you. He's carrying you through it all. I mean, look at, you've been through this 9 years, and you're able to still have your humor. I'm sure you're a blessing to your family, you know, so it's like God is actually holding you up through all this. And that's good that, you know, I know your family has strong faith, and that's going to be really helpful.
With the last time I was in the hospital, when the nurse would come in, he would talk to this and that, and I would help say something, and then he'd walk out laughing. He'd come back, he goes, and every time I go back to the nurse station, they're like, when are you staying out? And that was another thing, teaching that every time my brother would catch a cold,
uh-huh,
or his fever would go up. His fever was to go up just a little bit. If he would catch a fever, he would hate to go to the hospital. If he goes to the hospital, they would.
Oh, yeah.
Now it's very easy. And it'll, you got to be worked on. You're going to miss you. Of course, he didn't want to be admitted, but it's like, hey, man, you better. Better be safe than sorry. Just, you know.
Right.
Do it. Well,
right.
No, but just, I can understand where he's coming from. So from here, you were like, you know, yeah, go for a week. My family. And, you know,
takes care of family, and it's like, you know, you try to be the, of course, you're the man of the house, but it's like, man, you know, it's like, when he's out and about, Richie, even though we're musicians, I don't know if you know, everybody knows Richie's had sex.
But we've right.
Been together, mm-hmm. That's where he did, right?
Right.
Richie's a big supporter of the Hano music. I mean, hangs out with everybody.
What's that?
I'm saying that if that when he pops in the file, people see him dancing, cool. Even if we pop, but they all see what we're behind.
Yeah, so they don't.
Sometimes, and he'll be asleep for the whole day, or he can't get up from bed, or this and that. But when he's feeling better, it's like, guess what? We just go out, which I think is a positive thing on this side, meaning he helps faith, he's positive, and he's not at home, you know.
Right.
Like, oh my God, he's out and about, and just, you know, and there's some things he's comical, man. You were somewhere the other day, Rich, you had to meet.
You were at?
Yes, and you want to go listen to somebody here. I'm sleepy. I can't sing. I don't feel good. So, you know, he had his good days in himself, but hopefully, you know, with anything that's going to happen, so it's all in God's hand, you know, it's going to be good.
Now, and I know, you know, that I, for the people that, because I'm trying to, sometimes people say like certain parts of the body, but they don't really know what it does. You know, like when I had my gallbladder out, I'm like, what's the use of a gallbladder? You know, and I had to look it up. So I'm looking at just some stats here. It is, the liver is, it does a lot of, you know, like a few jobs. It's like storing nutrients, removing waste products and worn out cells from the blood, filtering and processing chemicals in food, alcohol, and medications, producing bile, a solution that helps digest fats and eliminate waste products. So when you don't have that, you know, it's, if you're not able to do that, then of course, you know, yeah, you get the signs of the symptoms of liver cancer. And I guess liver cancer actually is the sixth most common cancer worldwide. And it's the fifth most common cancer in men. Yeah, it's sad. But technology is so far advanced now that, you know, it's like more, how you say, like recovery is better. But, you know, hopefully, you know, you won't have any, like your body doesn't reject.
You know, the bile and all that.
Yeah.
So if you're not releasing all that, the toxins go into your blood. When they go into your blood, your ammonia level goes up. When your ammonia level goes up, you don't know who you are. You don't know what you're doing. You don't know how old you are. You don't know anything. And you don't remember anything. It's horrible. But see, at the beginning, we didn't know about it. Then my wife thought, oh, he's just deep. And then one day she walked in without him, and I was trying to drink the hairspray.
Oh, God.
He said, oh, we just sleep. But the second day, third day, whatever, I got up to go to the inlet. I went to the restroom, and I was in the kitchen. And she said, oh, maybe she's making a soup. And she probably didn't put like that. I wasn't in the kitchen, but I had all the burners on, and I had the refrigerator open. Oh, because the alarm went off on the refrigerator because it was open too long.
Uh-huh.
So she went to the bedroom and I was knocked out. She was like, this is about right.
Yeah.
This is not right. And it was my ammonia level. But seeing now, we know, and they give me medicine for that. You know, after all this over and done with, I want to be an advocate for this disease.
Well, you know, you being an advocate, You would be so good, you know, when if you go to the hospital, you're able to talk to someone and give them hope and let them know that, hey, look, I beat it. You could beat it too. You know, don't lose hope. I think that's, the world needs more people like you, because it's easy just to give up. And it's easy. I mean, can you imagine, some of these people don't have family. They don't have friends. They don't have a good support system like you do. And just to be that support for them would probably mean the world, you know, to support them.
I had so many people in my room when I helped my own room, right?
Yeah.
One of the times, and three would leave and four would walk in, and there were still six in there. And I mean, I was like, okay, I'm in the hospital, sick, tired. But everybody was little, and I didn't turn anybody away.
Mm-hmm.
But my wife was outside, you know, wash your hands and put a mask on.
Yeah.
And I walked in, and like, it's tough. It's a battle. I always have all the nurses. I have them all cracking up, even the doctor. I was in there one time with my ammonia level, and then for some reason, my back smoked like a disc. Oh. I have so much pain, so they gave me CT scan and did all kinds. And just when they would put me, move me, I was screaming bloody murder because I wasn't that much pain.
Mm-hmm.
So they were giving me morphine and something else. I mean, just it was just like, you know, I was just like, I'm in pain, I'm in pain. Well, the pain medicine constipates.
Yeah, I know that. Yeah.
So they have to give you medicine. I can release all my toxins, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Day three, doctor, hey, have you had a movement? You need to have one. So what do you want me to do, doctor? I need this pain medicine. I'm well, but we're going to keep trying. We're going to keep trying. It's okay. And that was a time my blood score had gone up real high, right? And it was like day six and day seven, they doubled or tripled up on that medicine. And I was like, oh my God, right? I go, doctor, I just had a miscarriage.
The doctor's all like, what? At least the doctor can take a joke, you know, at least the doctor, he knows how rich he's his humor.
I could see him shaking. Even a lady walked in with a tray one time. She goes, sir, I need 15 bottles of blood. I go, how many? She goes, 15. And my aunt was there, my cousin, there was some other people. I go, golly, like, was that one skipper? I mean, coach, like, she's not just one call. She goes, sir, what kind of procedure are you having? I go, well, I don't know, but I just came in for a pulp smear. She laughed so hard, she that's the best one I've ever heard.
Your humor, not only do you pick up your family, but the staff, the nursing staff, you know, I have a daughter that's a nurse, so when she gets focused and she's like doing her thing, it's like, I could see her. She's just no joking, no. And I tell her, Mia, you got to slow down a little bit, smile at the patients, give them a little bit of your time. Especially, you know, the viejitos, I said, you don't know, you know, what they're going through. And she goes, yeah, Mom, you're right. You know, and she loves to have conversation and laugh with the patients. It just makes their shift a lot more brighter, you know?
And okay, the way you treat them.
Right, it's the way you treat them, yeah. That makes a big, big difference. And just people love being around other people that make them laugh. Gosh, well.
It's all right.
Sorry,
I want to do film.
Oh, you do?
Surgery.
That's a good idea. Something to keep for, I don't know, you know, grandkids or just to show your...
And then they film the first night they went to sleep, huh?
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, you'll be calling DLG. Hey, pick us up.
You know, look, you're a kickle court. You hear?
Let me tell you, wheelchair races. A lot of people in wheelchairs.
That would be funny. Oh gosh, that would be funny.
And actually, we're having a benefit plate sale on the 19th.
Okay.
The 19th. Both out the PNN.
It's on Roosevelt Street. It's gonna be chicken, sausage, rice, bean, lemon, all of it. So now, I heard today that both of me, Dave and he's supposed to show with the band. Around
Thousand
Play, Mario O, Enchanted Banana, Destiny, and Regal. They're waiting back on Dead of Bodies. I don't know about his DVD. You'll be there. Cool house, Ricky? Oh, Texas Hot Tino. I'm all the best.
Oh my gosh, I want to go.
You know, we went out of mute. My brother's got 9 years of medical bills. Even then, you have insurance and stuff that all he's got, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Never suffer all evening. Well, you started off with the plate sale, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, Mr. Joey Rodriguez stepped in. He always does, you know, comes through. Started to him and Lauren Eddie Hernandez, a very good friend of ours. The big supporters of all the Hamamis, they put up their hands and houses to everyone. They're stepping up and putting things to global.
I know that you could have probably had any, maybe a donor that's deceased or somebody else, but to have your brother do this for you, you know, how does that make you feel?
Honest to God, I can't explain it. I mean, he's extending my life, giving me a second chance in life by what he's doing. And it to me, it's just huge. You know, my dad would say, I was expect nothing less than y'all. That's what my dad
would say. Well,
I expect nothing less. That's who I reigned straight there.
And also, he thought as well, we try to pay for however we can. Sure, anybody can, and you know, we don't have much, a lot, or you don't have whatever we can do for anybody. We try to do it. That's the way my dad used to do that. Even now, people will come up to tell your dad to whistle and hey, my dad was always into AC company, and they played when the dad used to put Freon, and my AC, your dad did this for me. I mean, till this day.
Oh, wow.
So he would, we bring more benefits in our lives when my body is better off yet. There's a benefit somebody has cancer. There's a benefit somebody, but we can't for good because that's the way it, for us it was normal. It's not like here, we did take it. It was never like,
yeah,
because
yeah.
That's the way he brought us up. That's the way he would give the talent that he had and would share with everybody. If it was a wedding to get paid or if it was a cake, we need help. Let's go help.
Mm-hmm.
Just like that, we would not budge. Let's all go do it, you know. So, like what you're saying, I mean, I'm glad I'm able to do it, you know, and it means a lot. It means a lot to me as much to me.
Rick, do you ever get emotional? Like, do you ever just think about it and you're just like, dang, this worked out? You know, like, does it ever just hit you really hard?
It always hit me hard as the day where I had to get that biopsy would have gone hard. It would said, you don't,
or
you're so far away. Because here we are thinking, okay, we're 2 months away, we're 3 months away. It's like, even though, how can I say, it's all in God's hand, I feel like it's in my hand.
And yeah.
Rich is waiting, you know, he's been waiting for this for 9 years, and it was for me or for somebody else, but it's like, okay, I got to do this for my brother, right? I got to do this, you know? So, you know, thank God that we were out to be it, you know?
Yeah. Well, I thank you for your time, letting us see. I mean, it's like another side of it, because I mean, we hear about people that go through the transplants, but you don't hear the background story or what the patient goes through or what the you know, the patient that gives their organ. And yeah, and it's important also to be an organ donor. I have that on my license, and it was due to my friend. His name was David Hernandez, and he got a double lung transplant, but, you know, when he got it, his organs were already shutting down, and he didn't survive the surgery. But ever since then, I became an organ donor. So, and if anybody has any, like, if they want to look up any information, I know that there's a website here that I was looking at. It's called American Liver Foundation. And you could just look up, you know, their stats. There's all kinds of information on here. You know, if you're newly diagnosed to your, you know, recovery. So, you know, if anybody needs any information, that's a good website also to go to. And I'm sure, Rich, you know, you'll be happy to answer anyone's questions as well.
Or definitely, you know, over lunch. I'm looking to talk to anybody, honestly, anybody, and just to tell her, hey, you know what? You know where you're at? I was there. Don't let it beat you.
Yeah.
Don't let it beat you. It's not the end. There's light. There's light, and I see the light. I do. Not the one upstairs, the one, you know, like, through the tunnel. But I just like, you know what? It's going to take a good time for recovery for me. I've had tons of support, and I'm like, tons of support.
But it just pays back, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I stand there, hey, prayers for Richie and Rick, prayers for Richie and Rick, Rick, you know what he's doing for him, get cursed, and you have that, wow, it's beautiful. It's not all about me. It's about Rick, too, because Rick is, they're cutting, you know, 60 or 70% of his liver to save me.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's like, you know, it's not about, oh, Richie's going to transplant. No, Rick is giving him a transplant.
Yeah. I do have a lot of people that are going to be praying for you and keeping, you know, keeping you in prayers. And I really believe, you know, that, like I said, God is carrying you. He's been carrying you, and he's going to continue, you know, to carry you. And now it just makes, I think, you and your bond with your brother even more stronger, too, you know?
Oh, yes. We talk every day. Every day.
Well, that's good, because I'm sure the family's not complete. You know, you have to, you're going to be okay. You're going to be, you know, you're going to get better. You're going to get stronger. And, you know, this is just the beginning of your journey. So, and it's going to be good. But I want to thank you so much for sharing so much with me and the listeners here at the Hano Nation. And I really admire both of you. Rick, you're sacrificing so much, but when you think about it, it's like you would rather do that than to not have your brother.
Let's thank everybody at the Hano Nation, all the listeners, followers, you know, for your prayers and for what you're doing for the Hano that they had. You know, the Hano Nation's awesome.
Thank you so much. And you know what? Prayers.
And you go.
Yes.
That's all what you asked for.
And keep us posted, okay? Let us know how everything goes, and we'll do a follow-up. When you're up to it, and we'll do a follow-up on the story, okay? Yeah, part two, yeah.
I'm sure you'll see pictures.
Yeah, Rick will. I'm going to ask Rick to tag me in them. But my prayers are with you, both of you. I'm going to, you know, be watching your Facebook pages and see, you know, just to keep updated. You know, like I said, we're asking people out there to continue to pray for Rick and his brother, Richie. And once again, thank you guys so much for sharing a lot. You know, it's hard not to get emotional on this interview, because I feel your heart. I feel what you guys are putting, you know, what's going to happen. I know that it's going to be good. I know that it's just the beginning of, you know, a healthy journey for you, Richie. And, you know, it's just amazing. You have an amazing brother.
Oh, definitely. Oh, my God. Boy, do I. I'm just glad he was never an alcoholic or a druggie, because you're
I know that. Yeah. Should be out of luck then.
Yes. Thank you so much, sugar.
You're welcome. God bless you guys.